Going on, everybody. It's your boy Isaiah Page.
The deal, y'all, is Tony Jenkins.
And it is a very somber day in the college football world. Whether you are a fan of Auburn, Georgia, Kennesaw State, Georgia Southern, Miami, Ohio, you get the point. If you're a fan of college football, it's a sad day somehow, some way, whether you hated Alabama, whether you didn't. If you haven't figured out by now, we are recording this right after we got the news of Nick Saban retiring. So we plan to do a pod tonight anyways. We wanted to get some national championship thoughts out, and now we've got this news of Nick Saban retiring. So we're gonna lead with the national championship recap. Had a great a fun one between Michigan and Washington. Then we'll get to Nick Saban's kind of surprise retirement, depending on what circles you're in. So we'll leave that on the table. We'll leave that for y'all to think about. But in the meantime, let's talk about the 2023 season recap, or season, I guess, cap off, and the Pac-12 cap off as we know it as well. RIP. Michigan played Washington on Monday night, obviously for the national championship. This one was a close one for about three quarters. It was a weird one though, because it wasn't close because both teams weren't necessarily playing well. It was kind of close because both teams were playing pretty sloppy. But I mean, it is what it is. It's college football. It bounces sloppy games. These guys are amateurs that I think a lot of people forget about. And then Michigan kind of made some big plays late, and finally were able to capitalize and put it away. But it was a, I mean, it was a interesting way to close out the 14 playoff. We opened it with a national championship that didn't include any SEC teams between Oregon and Ohio State, and we capped it off with a national championship that once again did not include SEC teams with Michigan and Washington. Personally, I loved it.
Loved it.
I thought it was awesome to see just two teams that, I mean, if you th when you think about Michigan, like, Michigan is kind of a myth to, especially to a lot of us, like people our age. We've never really seen, I mean, we've always seen Michigan on the TV, and they would always be, maybe a top 25 team, bordering on top 25 team. They would always kind of keep it competitive with Ohio State every year, but that's really the only time they were talked about all year too, is if they're playing Ohio State, or even back in the day when they played Notre Dame all the time. And that's the only time, but in the South, really, that's the only time Michigan was ever talked about. And so being in the South and then being our age, like, we've never really had, Michigan, seen Michigan at the forefront, like we had the last few years. And I think seeing a team like Michigan, a blue blood from somewhere else in the country that's kind of been dormant for a while, compete for a national title was really neat. And then on the other side, Washington is, I mean, they're not, I wouldn't call them a blue blood, but they're a very solid program historically. It's not like they ha haven't won national titles before in their history. I think they actually won one in the 90s, if I remember correctly, 90s or 80s or 90s. So yeah, I thought it was really cool to see both of those teams compete. That was my biggest takeaway, was just seeing two different brands, kind of go at it for a change.
Straight up, bro. It was good seeing the new brands, dog. I know everybody loves the SEC, especially because we're down south, bro. We are in Georgia. Everybody wants to see the red and the black. Everybody wants to see the Crimson Tide if they're not a Georgia fan. And if not, it's just like, well, who cares about watching it? Nah, bro. We love the game too much. It was great, man. Like you said, Michigan is the most winningest program in college football history, and we've never seen any type of postseason appearance until these like past 3 years, bro. And that's why I have the respect I do for a player like JJ McCarthy and a coach like Jim Harbaugh, who is an alumni head coach. You played quarterback at your school, and now you got a national title ring as the head coach, bro. That's legendary. That's historical. It was a great game, though, bro. I picked my dogs, of course, because I was leaning towards them all season. I like the way they play. Their playing style is just electric, bro. But so is Michigan's, dog. And like Zay said, it was a slow start for Washington. Very slow. I'm talking about the first quarter was all amazing. It was all what? Amazing yellow, bro. Blue and yellow, dog. Amazing blue. Bro, the end was ruling. They had like, I told the group chat they had like 200 rushing yards in the first quarter, bro. It was ridiculous. Donovan Edwards had two of the longest runs in national championship history, both in the first quarter. Like, bro, Michigan, they had two 100-yard rushers, and somehow Blake Corum, he managed to find more rushing yards than Donovan Edwards. But dog, hell of a rushing game, bro. Two bell cow running backs when it comes to college football, and they both of them are going to play on Sunday, bro. But the way that Michigan's defense was able to run a disguised zone coverage with only a three-man front for the majority of the game and bring in one backer and maybe a nickel when it comes to their pass rush pressure and still get Mike Penix out of his game, bro, that's big time. Like Zay said, all three quarters at the beginning of the game were very close, even though it didn't seem like it at first. Washington was able to hold their own and still keep up, but there was a lot of big plays missed when it comes to certain throws, and Mike just couldn't really get the balls into the tight windows like usual. He was disrupted. He was shook. I can't lie. It seemed like he was just a little anxious all game long. And then the rushing game for Washington was absolutely absent. Like Dylan Johnson was nursing a few different injuries. And
And you could tell too. Shout out, real quick. Shout out to Dylan Johnson because
shout out Dylan Johnson, bro.
he fought, dog. Like you could tell every time he tried to make a cut, every time he got up, like he was hurting. But go ahead.
Come on, bro. Nah, you good, bro. Like they said, it's been since about mid-season where he's been banged up, but they had the nerve to say before the game started that Dylan Johnson is 100% for this game. And that's just what you are going to say as a warrior, as a competitor. There was nothing that was going to take him away from playing in the national championship game for Washington, bro. This is a historical matchup. Like I told Zay before the game, no matter what happens, McCarthy's going down as the best quarterback to play for Michigan, 27 or 26-1 as a starter. And this Mike Penix Washington team with Rome, Polk, McMillan, Johnson, they're the best team to touch campus. Whether they had a great game or had the best game of the season in the Natty or not, it was great to watch, dog. But you got to give all respect to Michigan for pulling that victory out and finishing strong, bro, because they made it nasty in the fourth quarter. I'm talking about nasty, dog. I really don't have too much else to say. I think they have the most rushing yards in the national championship game ever coming off of this game with a little over 300. And shoot, dog.
I mean, it was like I said, it was just really cool to see those two teams going at it. It'll be interesting. I agree with everything. I mean, everything you said, obviously. I think the biggest thing for Michigan was to be able to just harass Penix all night, and just made things really uncomfortable. And you could tell he just wasn't in a rhythm in general, especially early on in the game. And I mean, you got to credit the defense. It's partly because they never allowed him to get into one. And kind of kept that O line on their heels. And even you could even tell, especially in the second half, that that O line had been on their heels because then they started committing penalties, a couple of questionable holds called against them that weren't called against Michigan. But I mean, nevertheless, that's the rub of the game.
We never are gonna blame the refs on this podcast.
But there were some pretty calls.
But at the end of the day, you got 60 minutes to blame the camp on the team.
Exactly. Straight up. It's that simple. You got 60 football to play. One play is not going to define the game. So, I mean, it'll be one thing I am interested to see is, what's next for these programs. I think both programs will be okay. I think, so we'll look at Michigan first. It'll be interesting to see what's next for them. As far as what happens with their head coach, obviously Harbaugh has been in contract extension talks with the University of Michigan, but nothing's been signed yet, and that's because there's also a lot of talk that Harbaugh could possibly go to the NFL, and it'll be interesting to see where Michigan is headed, whether Harbaugh stays or whether Harbaugh goes. Obviously. You can go down both of those separate routes. If he stays, I still think Michigan may struggle next year. And when I say struggle, I mean, one, their schedule's amped up, and two, they're losing. I mean, that entire defense is full of seniors. That's why they're here. That's part of why they're here, is because they have a very senior-led culture. And while they have a very strong culture in general, and they do have some guys coming back, Will Johnson being one of them, that they've got a couple guys coming back, but for the most part, their big time contributors are all, either going to the league or getting on with their lives. And so it'll be interesting to see if they're able to continue that culture despite losing a ton of experience. Because to make the point, when you see teams like Georgia, like Alabama, like Clemson before the transfer portal hit, or even LSU from time to time, they'll lose these talent, these insane amounts of talents. Ohio State, one of them, they'll lose these insane amounts of talents, but not really take a step back. It might not look the same, it might look different, but it's still, at the end of the day, it's still the program, it's still the brand. And it'll be interesting to see if Harbaugh comes back, if Michigan is able to do that. They don't recruit as high of a level, but Michigan still recruits at a decently high level to be able to do that. So
Definitely.
it'll be interesting to see that. But I do expect them to take a step back regardless next year. But we'll see. Maybe the spring tells us something different.
Right
If
on.
and then if they go the other route, who does Michigan bring in? What does the future of the program look like? I don't think anything's going to really come from this NCAA sign stealing scandal, but I don't I just the NCAA is a joke of an organization, and we'll see. Like, I'm not saying Michigan should be punished because the NCAA is a joke of an organization, but I'm just saying the NCAA in general is a joke of an organization, and it wouldn't surprise me to just see nothing come down, whether that's right or wrong. I'm not here to debate whatever. That is what it is.
Definitely.
It'll be interesting to see, if a penalty does come from it, if that affects any, if that ongoing investigation affects their ability to a top level head coach. It'll be interesting to see all of these things down the road and who they'd bring in. Maybe they try to hire from within to try to, I guess kind of retain the culture that Harbaugh built. It'll be interesting to see what direction Michigan goes if they, but if he leaves, like, I want people to understand how big of a decision Michigan is at, how big of a crossroads they're at. Because Michigan, once again, we just talked about it, from 1997 to now, I mean, 1997 was their last national championship, and they had a couple of good teams on in the early 2000s, but once again, they've been kind of a dormant blue blood. Like, they haven't really competed for anything of relevancy. Maybe played in a couple bowl games, even reached a couple New Year's Six bowl games, but as far as the blue blood goes, they have not been they haven't really been as competitive in our lifetime. And he leaves, they will either go back to that, or they can find a hire for them that will continue them on this trajectory of being competitive with Ohio State, because that was, I mean, for the longest, that's all Michigan was trying to do, was be competitive, and get to Ohio State's level. And now they've passed Ohio State, and they can find a hire that will continue to elevate them, or it's back to potential dorm, going dormant again. So I think they've got a big decision coming up if Harbaugh decides to jump ship and go to the NFL.
Exactly, man. Because it took Harbaugh some time to build the culture that he has now, and to have the talent of a roster that he has now. And like one thing about it, Michigan, and really, I don't know if this is Michigan or I don't know if this is Harbaugh's the way of doing things, but they don't recruit according to the database. It's about the type of person and player that they want playing for their program. And it's a few different teams and coaches that really head in that direction, because people think that the 5 and 4 stars that are all over the recruiting databases are the best players in the country coming out of high school, and they're going to have the best seasons once they get to college. But dog, that is their evaluation based on their development to the point that they're at in high school, compared to the rest of the general population of athletes who might think this game is serious. But you got to realize that 9 times out of 10, the kids with the stars and the kids are that are trying to get the stars and the scholarship offers are the only ones in the whole country who take the game serious enough to believe that they can make revenue off of it one day, whether they go pro or not. And it's just a different mentality. It's a different type of kid that you have. But based off of the playing style and the type of offense and defense you run, and like you're saying, the type of school you have and culture that you have within your program, that determines what type of kid and player that you want on a year-to-year basis. And bro, like they were saying, for the longest, we saw Michigan as a big brand who was going to get the TV games, kind of like a Notre Dame. Y'all going to be on TV. Y'all straight up, y'all going to get y'all's respect, but like, y'all not going to win no big time trophy or anything. It was Ohio State's conference for the longest, bro. And we've just got to the point where Michigan's able to bang out and hang out, and that's 3-0 that they're coming off of is really a point in history, and it's not exaggerated when people talk about it, because we've seen not only I say Ryan Day, but it's not Ryan Day. We've seen not only an Urban Meyer, but a Jim Tressel, and if some people might not even know who that is, we've seen both of them win. I'm talking about win big. When I was a little boy, when Georgia had no shot at touching national championships, who was I seeing play? A Jim Tressel versus a Urban Meyer. Bob Stoops is Oklahoma, right? Okay, yeah, Bob Stoops in Oklahoma. Like, we're seeing these schools still run it, bro. Ohio State's been good forever, and this is the only time in history where they can look at it and say, well, in our lifetime, where they can look at it and say, dang, Michigan kind of got the up on us. And like you saying, this crossroads is huge, dog, because hiring the coach, it ain't no understatement. It ain't no small talk, bro. You got kids who, well, first off, in this day and time with college football recruiting, it's a different type of kid out there, and it's only so many that you will want to open the door up for. Like, so, man, to continue on with the culture that Jim Harbaugh has left, either they're gonna figure out this contract and avoid any type of firing or confusion when it comes to him. Or they're gonna find the guy who not he, he's not only gonna keep the culture that Harbaugh left, but he's gonna bring his own twist to it and mesh, because it's not gonna be the same. It just doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that.
Exactly, bro. It just doesn't work like that, bro. So it's gonna be probably a different type of offense, still physical football, but it's gonna have to be somebody who's got a big time leader chip on his shoulder, and he's able to lead a group of men and damn near win now. But we're not gonna place a national championship standard on his head immediately, but it's definitely gonna be very soon after he gets hired. They're gonna want to see what type of success he has. But just quick to hint on Washington, they're losing damn near their whole team as well, bro. I'm talking about the NFL draft eating up both of these teams that we saw in the national championship. And that's why I tell everybody, these are the best two teams in the country. It's NFL talent all over the place. But these two teams, bro, there's some highly touted talent coming off of this national championship game, bro. All the stars are going to the league. Corum, McCarthy, Mike Penix, Romo Dunze, they're all going to the league. One of the only kids that's not going to the league that's going to have the check on his name is Will Johnson. No, straight up. Like, that's the only one that's going to be sticking around representing that M. And
National championship game.
they're going to remember him for winning that ring because they gave him defensive MVP, bro. And, like, bro,
On his stingy.
come on his Stingley. And, bro, I'm in the chat the whole game because I haven't went against Michigan all season. I've wanted Michigan to win every game until this one, just because, bro, when I pick a side, you got to stand by your side, bro. Bro, this the same corner that they said, bro, go man up on Marvin Harrison Jr. We're not worried about that. And he picks Kyle McCord off and basically ran the slant for Marvin in the game at the big house. And with this Washington offense, just because there's so many weapons, they did not allow them or any of their corners to play man or press man any.
And Michigan's defense, they run zone a lot. Like, they've run zone all season. They,
Yeah.
for some reason though, like to your point, when they saw a receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr., they did, kind of play a lot more man than they played zone that day still, but they played a lot more man than they typically do. And they did not play man at all on Monday night.
And it was like, bro, I couldn't be mad at them for playing a style of ball that was definitely getting them to victory. Like I say, it had Penix shook. Even when receivers were open, he couldn't get the ball there. And as a defensive coordinator and as a defensive player, you got a zone, you got a task at hand. We a team, bro. As long as we getting off this field, we winning. Like, we doing what we got to do, bro. And you can't take it from him. Bro had a pick and all. Mike Sarron still though, I got to give props to him because, like, I hate to bring my
Shout out
Bulldogs
to
up.
you.
Come on, bro. I hate to bring my Bulldogs up, but I love Javon Butler. Not because, oh, bro, he just the best ever. Like, he's the best to play for our program ever in history. The style of ball he plays in the position he plays requires a lot from a defensive player. And you really have to put your athleticism on blast. Not a lot. Like, almost every play. You play like a linebacker. You play like a corner. You play like a safety. All in one. And you still have a pass rushing aspect to your game that kind of makes you like a Swiss Army knife. You do a little bit of everything. And Sarron still definitely is that from Michigan. And bro, when I see that, I love the game too much, bro. Like, he's all over the place.
He's a playmaker, Brian. Shout out my dog. You asked Tom. I was vouching for Sarron Steele. I've been vouching for Sarron Steele for a few years now. But if you don't know about Mike Sarron Steele, Mike got to campus in Michigan as a wide receiver, actually, and played wide receiver up to his junior year. And
I can believe
he like he even scored the first. So Ohio State had lost to Michigan 3 times in a row, and the first time they beat him in the Big House with Aiden Hutchinson and Ojabo and them on that defense, he was on offense running routes. He scored a touchdown in that game. Like, he was a legit wide receiver for them. He made the switch, almost plays like slot corner, like a nickel slot corner type. I think that'll be more his fit in the NFL. And I mean, like, but like, he fits in though. Like, and he would truly try and guard anybody. I saw him. I mean, he was out there in coverage on Cade Stover. So he made the touchdown against Ohio State 3 years ago. Then this year or last year, he goes out there and he takes a touchdown away from Ohio State by knocking it out of Cade Stover's hands on third and I think it was 3rd and 4, made Ohio State settle for the field goal. And that was like a huge moment in the game. And like, I mean, he just consistently gets to it. So shout out Zero, shout out Sarron Steele. That's House Call Hall of Fame.
Come on,
That's
bro. Look,
might be the first ever inductee. I don't know if we've made a House Call Hall of Fame, but if we haven't,
that's the first one right there. Zeta
that's
put him.
the first one. Shout out
Right there.
Sarron
We can't take it from him, bro. And like he said, like I was saying before, your athleticism is put on blast because you are in a position where you guard a multiple facet of different type of players, from speed to strength. Your physicality has to be there. Your athleticism and football instincts have to be second to none, bro. So I can definitely see him being a receiver coming in because, bro, on the defense, believe it or not, you're gonna have some kids that are more athletic than those offensive players, but they're able to put the game together. They understand the offense so much
Okay.
that we're gonna play defense and we're gonna try to stop this. So it's that beautiful, dog. Like, Mike is a real deal athlete. And so you got players like that leaving your program, going to the draft. You can't just
Something.
replace them overnight, bro.
It's not like most people don't be just because some of the Bamas and Ohio States and Georgias and whoever else of the world do it. Doesn't mean like everybody does. And while I trust Michigan to stay on that level, if Harbaugh stays, and one thing I do want to say is I think Michigan will be okay. I trust Michigan to make the right hire.
Look.
I think Harbaugh has shown Michigan and Michigan's, brass what they need, what they need to try to lean into, and try to lean into, the Michigan way. People that's going to do it the Michigan way, quote unquote, whatever that means to them. They need to find somebody that's going to do it. I don't know what that means. I can't define the Michigan way, but somebody up there should be able to define the Michigan way and what a quote unquote Jim Harbaugh would call Michigan man is, and needs to find that and find it and bring him in. And I think they will do that because I think Jim Harbaugh has helped them define it. And before they couldn't find it, they were hiring guys like Charlie Weiss. Come on. Charlie Weiss is the furthest thing that needs to be. He needed to be as far away from them and from Michigan as possible. And that's the guys we're bringing in. So, I think I do want to, I did want to kind of throw that out there. I think Michigan's going to be okay. But
Definitely.
I did want to touch on Washington real quick. I also think they're going to be okay. Kalen DeBoer is an amazing coach. I'm a really big fan of the work that he's done out there. It's never going to be easy to replace a Rome, a Jalen, McMillan, and Polk. and Dylan Johnson.
Let's just say it like this. Just like we're gonna say this for both teams. And I'm coming off of this firsthand messing with my Georgia Bulldogs. Cause like I tell people, it's never been like this. You can't replace history. You have to remake it in a different version. Replace history, you're gonna fall off trying to do that.
That's it. That's it. It's really that simple. That's a bar. I'm not gonna hold.
That's a
So,
more.
yeah, it's never gonna be easy, but I trust the direction that Kalen DeBoer's got that program going in. And really that they should be really excited about the future. And they're going to go play Big Ten ball next year. So they'll get some more national exposure, more chance. I mean, shout out Pac-12. We are not this is a pro Pac-12 show.
One more input. Look, we had an apartment together, roommates, sophomore year of college. On our cable package, for some reason, they gave us Pac-12 Network, y'all, year round. What's on the TV? It's on the TV, dog. We already watched Pac-12 after dark. We've been doing it since we were jits.
Volleyball, soccer.
Volleyball, come on, baseball, we in there, dog. Like basketball, we in there, dog. So,
This is a pro Pac-12 podcast.
straight up.
RIP the Pac-12. We love the Pac-12. We would love to see it return someday soon.
Come on, but Pac-12, send us some gear, man. Straight
Straight
up.
up. Straight up, show some love, dog. But they are going to the point of matter is they are going to the Big Ten next year, and they should get some more primetime games. They'll not should they will definitely get more primetime games if you've taken a look at their schedule. They are absolutely getting some primetime games next year.
They play
So
Michigan October 5th, you guys.
exactly. We're getting a natty ship rematch next season, which maybe I'm tripping, but I don't feel like that happens all that often in a regular season game. Like Bama and Georgia don't play, like they've played in natty championships, but they don't often play each other in the regular season.
At all.
And Clemson never play. Yeah, I don't think that happens all that often.
It's rare, dog. Definitely. Like you're saying, people will want Bama and Georgia to play more, and we just haven't got that. It's always been the Bama LSU. Yeah, we definitely about to. We about to get it, man.
Well, maybe.
Type.
We got to see
Type.
what direction the University of Alabama is going to go into, which I think we can. I mean, Tone, unless you got really anything else to say about Washington and Michigan, I mean, we're going to do it. So we're going to do a 2023 recap pod. We're going to save a whole show dedicated to that, just so y'all know.
Definitely, because I gotta address some things about the college football playoffs still when it comes to the different
Absolutely.
fan bases.
We got a lot to talk about when it comes to the college football playoff in the now and in the future.
Hold up.
A lot of formatting things, a lot of debates that's been going on. I think I know what Tone's wanting to talk about, which is probably some Georgia fans.
Exactly. Georgia fans, man. And just to hint on it quick, I definitely understand the frustration. I'm diehard around here, dog. So it, come on, bro. I just appreciate the game from a holistic point of view. And
So for context, some Georgia fans, there's a lot of Georgia fans out here that are saying that because that Georgia would have been beating Michigan in the national championship game and that they should have been in the playoff because of that reason. Tom, go ahead. I just wanted to make sure that
yeah,
was.
definitely. I appreciate you breaking that down for people, man. And the thing about it is, I'm gonna pick my team 10 times out of 10, but I don't ever want a handout trophy, bro. And I get the frustration of our fan base, but we have to realize sometimes it ain't our time, bro. Let's just get it next year and do it better. The thing about it is, people are frustrated and they feel like we've been treated as if it's the BCS era. One loss, you're out. And it just goes back to the college football playoff being a Final Four, and they think that, well, if you're gonna put it in the hands of a committee, if they're gonna have the power to decide who's the best and who's the most deserving, they should be able to do it accurately. And just people feel like they've changed their reasoning time to time, year to year, week to week. And I mean, hey, it's a valid argument to have, but bro, what I've told my fan base is, y'all need to sit back, y'all need to hush. And we gonna take this L, and we gonna do it better next year, because we can't be out here blaming and saying things sounding crazy, because we can't take Washington losing to Michigan and Bama losing to Michigan and say, well, That was supposed to be us. We was gonna beat them both times. We was gonna beat Washington if they never played Texas, and we was gonna beat Michigan if they never played Bama. Bro, come on now. Because in that same breath, you got a Florida State, you got Tallahassee down there, and you got 20 players who looked at the Orange Bowl like, but I'd rather walk my dog before I put my jersey on to play Georgia, and we not in the Final Four. Like, we've been disrespected. And it's like, you got a feel for a few different teams, but at the end of the day, that's why this 12 team is on the way. And that's why people are going to have their mixed opinions about the college football Final Four forever and the BCS forever. And shoot, bro, the future going to tell.
Exactly. And we will definitely talk about, because we got so much to share with y'all, man. Just because the college football season is over does not mean it's not college football to talk about. It's always some college football to talk about, and we got a lot of it. So we got a lot of things we want to talk about as far as the future of the game goes. A couple people we want to get on the show even to talk about. So
Straight up, man. And we definitely gonna try to get that YouTube video out where we sitting down
oh,
see us
so
cool, man.
I'm about to, yeah. I'm gonna start playing with that now. Now that I'm a graduated man and got some time on my hands, we gonna
Come
start
on.
thinking about that. So, in the meantime, move on to
The tribute.
Nicholas Lou Saban, retired after what was it, 18 years at the University of Alabama. He was hired in 2007. It's 2023. So 16 years. Boy, that scared me.
Hey, me too.
Anyways, so yeah, Nick Saban retired, head coach at Alabama for 16 years. In his time there, they won six national championships, nine SEC titles, I believe, or maybe it was 11. No way, it was 11.
Could have been, bro.
I think it
It's
was,
man.
and yeah, I mean, it is, and Ryan Williams just decommitted from Alabama, so it's starting. My bad, that kind of threw me off. So yeah, legendary head coach, in college football history. Most people would say he's the greatest ever. I guess it's just not like, I mean, we knew this day was going to come sooner than later. I don't think most people expected it now. Some people may have even expected him to do the Coach K retirement tour, which I am so glad he didn't do. Head coaches shouldn't go on a retirement tour. I'm sorry. Like, who are you, man? Come on. Like, any this is not a pro Coach K podcast, just so y'all know. That is, we're not even gonna get started on Coach K. We're here to respect greatness. Coach Nate, he didn't do the retirement tour. Just kind of retired out of the blue. I thought personally, I mean, I thought we had 3 to 4 more years before he tried, before he was gonna call it. I just think he doesn't want to deal with the new age of college football. Tony and I were talking about it before the podcast. I really think this new era of college football, this unregulated era of college football, has just, I mean, it's I can't really explain it, but it's taking its toll on a lot of coaches. And I mean, I feel like you can ask a lot of people, like, there have been rumblings from even out of Georgia that, like, Kirby's not a fan of it. And no head coach is a fan of it, right? But it's called into, and these are just rumblings, but like, it's called into question on how long down the road Kirby wants to coach. And I'm not saying anything's imminent, but most coaches will coach to their 70, 80, and it's questioned that Kirby might not want to do that, right? And because of the way college football is now, how unregulated it is, and I doubt it'll stay like this forever. I pray it doesn't stay like this forever. That's going to be another pod topic in the future, is once again the future of college football. Maybe we'll even do an episode on fixing college football, but
No cap.
that might be a little far over our heads. No, we could fix college football. We could fix
At
college.
least talk about our, give everybody our opinion, give everybody our point of view.
But yeah, I mean, and it's just ultimately, I think it's, I mean, I think it drove him closer to retirement. I'm not going to sit here and say it drove him out of the game or drove him to retirement itself. I mean, the man is in his 70s. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy. Like I never, I don't know. He was hired at Alabama. So for context, I grew up a Bama fan. My entire family's from out there. Got, alums throughout the family. I'll be going to Alabama for grad school down the road. So I was kind of born into it, and I was going to Alabama games before Nick Saban was even in the stadium. Tone can vouch for that. And but regardless of that, Saban was hired at Bama when we were 7 years old. We were in first grade. Tony and I met in second grade. We were in first grade. And that's, I mean, like I said, we were 7 years old. I'm 23 now. So I'm about to be 23 here in a few months. Like, I mean, that is when you think about, college football, or for me, when I think about Alabama football in general, something that, I fell in love with at a young age, that is Alabama football. Nick Saban is Alabama football. You don't see many coaches in one place for 20 years. And for him to do it and do it at the level he did it, it's special. And I'm not gonna lie, when I got the notification, like it hit me. I was like, goodness, like it hit me somebody gut punched you. Like what? Like Saban's retiring. Because like I said, I don't know anything else when it comes to the University of Alabama. Sure, I was at games when Mike Shula was on the sideline, but like once again, I was 4 or 5 years old, and D'Amico Ryans was playing on defense. The head coach of the Houston Texans was playing for the team, and I didn't even know. So like, I just remember being at the games. I remember being in the stadium. But like, I mean, to me, Nick Saban is Alabama football. So it's gonna be weird. Like, I don't think it's true. Like, it's hit me, but I don't think it's truly gonna hit me till spring roll around, and Saban's not doing his press conferences, or the fall roll around, and Saban's, or even spring roll around, and we have A-Day, and whoever's out there is out there, or the fall roll around, and it's not Saban on the sideline. It's going to be weird. So yeah.
Like Zay said, we met each other in 08, second grade. I met him. Mark Ingram was on the team, bro. The Heisman Trophy won. It was nothing but winning from the jump. Like I missed that inaugural season that coaches get where they kind of, get a feel for their program and get their
He
culture.
had it. He had that in 2007. He did have that. When they went 7-5, they lost to UL Monroe, but it was only 1 year.
1 year, like I'm saying, I missed it, bro. Because when I met him, when I met Zay, that was out the window. He was,
Right.
we about to go take, yeah, we about to go take Urban Meyer out of his shoes, and now we finna run this SEC.
Right.
So, bro, it's like he's saying, all he knows is winning. And I tell him from time to time, like, bro, you didn't seen it, boy. Like, this is some legendary stuff that went down. It's not normal. And people around the college football world and around the country in general, you got to realize that this Nick Saban era at Alabama is legendary and not normal and probably won't be repeated anywhere. And I mean, it's going to be GOAT head coaches and great head coaches still come through different programs, but they're going to have their version of winning. They're going to have their accolades, their trophy cases, their record books. But Nick Saban has done some one of one stuff in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, dog. I got the notification, bro. I was at the gym. I'm talking about getting reps in, sweating, dog, looking at the phone, vibed out to the music, rocking. I'm like, bro. I had to double take because I couldn't believe it. It had me baffled, mind blown. People don't know how much rank this little 5'8" man has had in our era of life, especially when you are a sports-oriented person like us, especially when you are a college football lover, diehard like we are, bro. Like we're saying, he's a Bama fan. I grew up Georgia, bro. I have family ties to the University of Georgia, just like he has to the University of Alabama. I'm born into it. And dog, like we've never got into it over. No, like we beef and we rivals, we this, we that, bro. No, we just respect the game too much. Now, when we play, hey, of course, we want our teams to win and we gonna go at it then. But, bro, y'all gotta have some real homeboys around you to be able to go at it with. And at the end of the day, you still homies, and that's just what it is over here, bro. But, dog, it messed me up because of how much he's gave to the game, how many players he's put in the NFL, how many people's lives he's changed. Bro, this one man, like, you don't think this sounds crazy, but not many people can say, I went to college and my football team, we didn't lose. And I went to college and every game we had, we knew we was about to be live.
And
The
wait.
camera, come on, the cameras coming in, CBS, ESPN, they are here. This is the best program in the country. He made University of Alabama premier for that this whole stage of our lives, bro. We're just finishing up college. We're just getting away from it. And now he's about to take his steps away, and he'll still have his hand or his foot in the door with certain things. Because when you're that high up on the ladder, you're always gonna have something to do with it, bro.
Straight up, straight
But
up.
no, like you're saying, legendary. It's legend. Rafters, dog. What we just said about Mike Sarensteel, Nick Saban, House Call Hall of Fame, 100%.
Percent, come get your bus, coach. Like, what are we doing? You get a bus, you get the gold jacket. We ain't doing no gold jacket. We need something different.
We gonna come up what we do to put our, certain coaches and players in the House Call Hall of Fame. But like Zay hit on, bro, and this is what I was saying. We were chopping it up about it before we recorded. He doesn't want any parts of this modern era of college football where there's no regulation, there's no necessarily guidance. Bro, you got players with damn near unlimited eligibility. Like, whoa, once I get my foot in the door, I can play college football forever. Whoa. It's not gonna work like that. I know people who've played for three and four colleges. What are we talking about? And it's not to knock anybody's career or what they have going on as a young adult or their marathon, but listen, dog, we got to have some structure to this system that we call college sports. Bro, you got NIL, you got the transfer portal, and then you also just have the name of recruiting as a college coach where if you want to be an elite level recruiter, you have to be willing to leave your house at any time of the day, be in any state, and find that talent with your own eye. And you also have to have a staff that's that dedicated to it as well. And that is your off season, the time you're supposed to be off and away from your profession. Like me and Zay hit on this earlier. You have to be working. You have to be at work, and you might not be in the heat, 100 degrees, sweating, but dog, it's tiring. You're not with your family. You're not with your wife. Your wife, your kids, they have to really be aware and just be willing to give you up to your job, because this is one of the only professions that you have to be so passionate about that you give your entire life to it, bro. I know people. Dude was just talking to me last week about his nephew, who was a four-star recruit. He ended up committing and signed to Florida during the early signing day. But a week before that, Nick Saban was in his living room saying, "Son, I'm late to the party. I can't believe I haven't gotten here earlier." But these coaches don't they don't only visit high schools, because when we were in middle school, we had a five-star recruit attending our high school right across the street from our building, and they're telling us Nick Saban helicoptered in and came to see this dude that's the number four safety in the country. And bro, it was true. But do you realize that he's working the whole time? Like, that sounds sweet. That sounds like, oh, he's living lavish. Bro, he's not on vacation coming to see high school football players. He's trying to get the best football team possible built and put together on paper so he can execute his one common goal and build a culture of, let's go get the championship trophy. Let's fight day in and day out to be the best we can. And we're going to build warriors, and we're going to make you become the best man possible. Dog, it's a job that many people can't do. But when it comes to what's going on now, where you got kids demanding certain amount of funds prior to, because listen,
It's ridiculous.
it's ridiculous. We're gonna address this. That was always brown paper bag money. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to think it was only for certain type of players, bro, highly touted recruits before NIL have been getting the brown paper bag. I'm talking about before college, in college, and after college, you're good. We straight. You ain't got to worry about it no more. But that's just a part of the game, bro. Like, I don't necessarily even hate to say it, because college sports and the market as a whole is something worth billions of dollars. So these are the faces of it. Hey, it is what it is. A regular student, it ain't no disrespect to you, but you know what this is, bro. But and back to the coaching job. You have to deal with demands of players, and not only the players, they have parents coming in here with this nonsense. You going to get my son this, you going to get my son that. Or we ain't coming over here unless you're offering this amount of incentives when it comes to a package. And while the NCAA is not our friend whatsoever, they used to look at it like, well, we're giving you a full ride to school and everything else, plus a little bit more of what the kids that aren't athletes are getting. But we're not saying that that's enough. But that is one staple of it. That's a big staple because free school is a blessing. But when you got 50 opportunities to go get free school in other locations, I understand that you look at it a lot differently. But bro, as a 70-year-old coach who's won six national championships with one school, one with another SEC school, coached in the NFL, and had a whole carousel to get to the point where he's at, you looking at it like, do I really want to deal with these 18-year-old to 23-year-old kids and have to man them up on a day-to-day basis and be a father figure to them year after year, or and keep doing this with everything that's coming with it? Because people have talked trash about coaching in the NFL because they don't want to coach rich crybabies. And shout out Zay Boyd. Zay Boyd just said this, one of our homeboys, dog. I went to school with him since we went to school with him since Martinez Elementary School. People don't want to coach rich crybabies, but with this NIL stuff, is
That's
this
what's cool.
this what it's coming to, bro? And then you have kids who aren't fully developed or matured into men, and they don't necessarily know how to handle themselves or carry themselves. Now, yes, you have to be more of a amateur pro than ever before. You have to be somebody who's mentally and physically prepared to take on whatever is put in front of you and kind of represent your craft as a profession at an earlier stage, because you're going to be held to a higher standard when there's money on the table obligated to come to your name. But as a head coach, where you have to be the nucleus to all of this, you like, my God, when do I have a time to take a deep breath? And when you've already accomplished what he's accomplished, I see where he's coming from.
No, like I can't do it anymore. Like I never seen my fa he's never seen his family, never seen, you know, he got a little grandchild that's growing up, getting older. Like, you know, at a certain point, you can't keep doing this every day. You know what I mean? And that combined with the way the game's going and the way the profession is now and the way it's headed, like I do think we will get regulation. I don't think it's like headed for doomsday. I think we will get a governing body in there at some point, and something will be done eventually. There's too many people that are prominent within the game that know that there are problems for us to not get them solved eventually. I do think that that will happen. But that being said, I still think we're, you know, maybe 2 to 3 years at a minimum away from it. And you know, when you're, I don't know how old he is off the top of my head. I think he's like 74, 75, maybe, maybe even younger than that. But you know, when you're that age, it's like I just don't know if I can do this, you know, for that much longer. Like, you know what I mean? So like, it's either now, like it's time to get out of there now or never. And I don't know what it is that sparked that. If I know Saban, like, I mean, I don't know him personally. I don't know dude personally, but like, I like to think I know, I like to think I know him a little bit, you know, just because of how much content I've, you know, consumed from him over the years and how much, you know, I've truly even, you know, I've learned from him over the years, even though I ain't even played at Alabama. I ain't never met the man. But you know,
That's
I've been
indeed.
exactly. And you know, but if I know anything about Saban, I guess is what I should say, then I do feel like, you know, this decision obviously wasn't made in vain. I think this is probably something he's been thinking about for a little while now. And I do think to that point that the athletic department, specifically our AD, Greg Byrne, I think that he probably already knew or had a good idea at least. And yeah, I mean, I don't know though. I mean, it's kind of unprecedented, but shout out to like just keeping it looking at his career and, you know, kind of moving away, I guess, from the reason why we think he left and where college football is headed. Because like I said, we've got a whole pod coming on that for y'all. But keeping it at Saban, like I mean, he's truly the greatest. It's ridiculous to do that in this era. I think he's got now the most national championships of any head coach ever. Tied with the, it's funny because he has the most national championships of any head coach, but he's tied for first on Alabama's list because Bear Bryant has six, but all six of his are at Bama. I mean, he's it, to do it in this era, in the scholarship era, the roster limit era. Back in the day, you could kind of just give scholarships to whoever. There weren't really any. Once again, there wasn't any like regulation back in the day. There had to be regulation put in place to get to where we were at now. And Bryant, Bear Bryant was kind of in that era, and it was easier to win, relatively then. And for Saban to do it in an era now where we've seen their spurts. We've seen people come and go since, especially in the BCS era. Like we've seen LSU come and they've went, and we've seen even during the playoffs, like a Clemson has come and gone. A USC has come and gone. Florida State has come and gone, but to come and just like stay, right? Like they never left. He once again he had his struggle year in 07 and then took Alabama to the SEC championship before eventually getting back there in 2009 and winning it. But he lost in 08. But I mean, ever since, I mean, never had a losing season at the University of Alabama in 16 years. Hasn't lost more than three games in a season in the last since 2007. He hasn't lost more than three games. And I mean, like that's insane. Six national championships in a 16-year span. Once again, nine SEC championships, I believe, was the number. And what's been the best or top two conference in the world in college football since then. And it's just been absolutely dominated by one program because of him. And you haven't seen that in this era from you haven't seen that in college football history to do it for that long. I don't think people realize is that big of a deal. Sure, they haven't won a championship in 3 years, but to be a perennial national championship contender and to put like not just a contender though, like a legit national championship front runner favorite, for 16 years. And even the years that they aren't winning one, they were right there. To do that for 16 years straight is, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. And even if you're just a fan of the game, much like if you're an NFL fan, I remember when Brady left and that all kind of broke up there. It's like you've got to still appreciate what they've accomplished. And just like this, if you're just a fan of college football, you've got to appreciate, what Saban's been able to accomplish.
100%, man. Like we say, legendary is an understatement. Rafters, understatement, bro. He's cemented, dog. Gold jacket, bro. I know it's for the NFL, but y'all need to throw my man one, bro. Straight up.
College like football Hall of Fame, just straight up like the ML or the NBA has they don't do the NBA Hall of Fame, they do the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Wherever the football Hall of Fame at, Saban need to be.
Ain't it just right around the corner in Atlanta, bro?
That's the college football Hall of Fame. But we need a merger. We need both of them.
Yeah, man. 100%,
I'm
man.
sure there's some CFLers out there that's worthy of a football Hall of Fame bid. We just need a football Hall of Fame.
Bro, like you're saying, Miami has came and went. Nebraska has came and went. Like, he's been there. And it was the standard the whole entire time. The
Right.
whole
Right. So, now
it
it's
just
incredible.
don't happen, bro.
It doesn't, and I think you hit it on the head. We'll probably never see a run like that again.
Come on now.
It's truly one of the most impressive things you'd ever see in sports to do it in a game where, to do it in a sport I mean you just don't see it all that often, and to do it at a program that Bama was a prominent program. They were kind of like how we were just talking about Michigan.
Yeah.
Bama like that from 92 to 06, they won their championship in 92 and they had a couple good years in there. They won the SEC, I'd say probably more about like 98 to 06. They won the SEC a few years in that mid-90s, but I mean, other than that, they had kind of been a dormant program. They were put on probation at one point. And Saban kind of came in and rewrote history and changed the course of the program. I do think, once again, just like I think Michigan is going to be fine, I think Alabama is going to be fine. If we'll see who that it's going to be. It's just so weird as a Bama fan. I don't talk about my fandom on the podcast a lot, just because I try to keep it non-biased. But as a Bama fan, it is weird to just kind of sit here and think about who the next coach of the football team is going to be. So I don't know. We've got sources saying that at Alabama's athletic director Greg Byrne has texted, or not texted, but informed the team that their replacement will be named within the next 72 hours. So they're trying to move quickly on this.
Yeah, 7
Does have
hours.
sources. We're going to keep the sources anonymous, but we can confirm. Tony can confirm. Anybody who knows us can confirm. House calls got sources.
Got sources. We LinkedIn.
We are plugged in.
Hey.
And not like power strip plugged in. I'm talking about, maybe not even USB-C plugged in, but we are plugged in. It might not be the turbocharger, but we in there.
Definitely.
And sources are telling us that, one, the replacement's going to be named within the next 72 hours, and that right now it does look like Dan Lanning might be the next head coach at the University of Alabama. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, he's only been at Oregon for 2 years, and to already get a job this quickly. But I would like to hire personally. I think Glenn Schumann is the next big thing. We owe Kirby one. Kirby been picking off the coaching tree for a couple years, so we might need to take one back. Schumann, I would love to see Schumann. I just don't know if they're going to deem Schumann ready for it. And if you've got a guy like Dan Lanning ready to commit, I don't think you'd be willing to take somebody that hasn't had the experience over somebody that's proven they can do it and do it fast. And it'll be interesting, because the question now becomes, once again, in this unregulated world of college football, what's going to happen with Alabama's rosters? Because we've seen coaches leave and rosters just get absolutely gutted. Like I just mentioned, Ryan Williams did decommit, but to that point, Ryan Williams was kind of on the fence when he
He's
committed.
one of those new era recruits, bro.
Nah, and he's been looking at he it's been kind of a battle between him and Auburn. Auburn's got a lot of top wide receiver commits coming in. So I mean, but as far as the roster goes, our sources are telling us if Alabama's defensive coach, I think his name is Tavarius Robinson. We call him T Rob. I know him as T Rob. That's why I don't know his first name.
Okay.
But we call him T Rob. But T Rob is, the lead recruiter on Bama's staff, and he was the DB coach. It looked like he was after. So some news that went under the radar the other day: Kevin Steele retired, and that's Alabama's defensive coordinator. And it sounded like T Rob was kind of next in line to take the reins over for defensive coordinator. But he is by trade a DB coach. And he is our lead recruiter, and it sounds like if they get a Dan Lanning in there that will retain T Rob on the staff, that a lot of guys are probably going to stick around, which would be huge. Because then you think about it, if Dan Lanning just walks into a job, like I don't think people realize how good this job is because of the talent that you have the potential to walk into. You have the potential to take over a team full of sophomores and juniors that just lost in a college football semifinal, and that has another top class coming in if you're able to do what you can do, right? And if Dan Lanning can come in, a guy like Dan Lanning comes in and retains that roster, it would be, I mean, it jumpstart their career, I mean, take their career to another level, because you don't have to go through that rough transition. You've got your guys, and I'm sure you've probably got a couple people coming with you from where you're coming from.
Hey,
So,
and that's definitely how it works nowadays because
exactly.
as much as they tell a player not to commit to a school because of the coaching staff, what choice do you really have when
That like those are the people you're gonna be with. Those are the people that's kind of leading you, that's trying to get you, and those are the people that's trying to convince you to come to where where they're trying to get you to go to. So, I mean, who else am I gonna listen to? Like to your point, what other choice do you have but to commit to a head coach and to the guys that you've been talking to? So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I think I think another reason that they are kind of poised. And by the way, I know I threw Schumann's name out there, but Schumann is like third in odds right now to be Alabama's next head coach. So it's not like I just pulled that name out anywhere. It is like a realistic opportunity. And I do think that they would target a guy like Schumann or like Lanning, because once again, like I just said about Michigan earlier in the show, saying that I think that Harbaugh's shown them the type of guy that they want and that they need to run this program, their program in the future. I think Saban's also done that. And and I mean, you know, Alabama kind of needs Alabama's always been a guys that a team or a program that's had, you know, these hard-nosed coaches, you know, starting with Bear Bryant, you know, Gene Stallings. Obviously, that's kind of why Shula didn't really work here. Shula's, I mean, he's hard-nosed, but it wasn't it. So you know, it'll be, I think, you know, the Dan Lanning and Schumann comes from because they were on staff with, they were on Saban staff, you know, a few years back. And then of course they've got Georgia ties as well, which, you know, if you look at Kirby's, you know, I'm not gonna say he's copied, but he's, you know, taken the blueprint and made it his own, you know, and kind of reworked it to how it works for him and how it works at Georgia. And I just think Alabama is going to try to get somebody in here that kind of understands that blueprint and can try to make it work for them.
Exactly. No, I bro.
And but I do think Alabama will. I trust Greg Byrne with this hire. I mean, his career's on the line too. It's going to be like, I cannot stress enough how bad I feel for the next guy that comes in. For the next coach that comes in. Because, you know, no matter what you do, you're not replacing Nick Saban. You can win a national championship and then go to a New Year's Six bowl game for the next, say your next 6 years is, you know, you win one national championship and then go to like five other, you know, either play, well, I guess playoff appearances, because they're going to a 12-team format. So we'll say, you know, five other playoff appearances with a natty, and they still might get you back in there just because of what they had before. And so I do, the next guy that's coming in's got his work cut out for him. But once again, he's what, stepping into a really, really good situation and a really good job. So it'll be interesting to see the direction they go.
Yeah, man, it's a big target on the next hire's back. You got a standard to uphold that is, like you're saying, second to none, and damn near impossible to repeat and reflect. So, bro, I just wish that the next hire is able to come in and really implement a culture that's unique, but also still be competitive, bro, on a very, very, very high level. But bro, this is a day in history, bro. This is history, man. This is history.
Straight up, Nick Saban in his with during his time at Alabama, he had 44 first rounders, 44 players drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, and he had 29 total losses in 16 years. So more first rounders than he did losses. I think that statistics should tell you really
That,
everything.
y'all, do you hear that? Not normal. That is not.
Over a 16-year period, I don't even, I think Tennessee, I don't know if they've broken it recently, but I think Tennessee was recently on a stretch. Maybe they're still on it, because I don't know a Tennessee player that's gone first round off the top of my head recently. They might break that soon. I'm sure they're due to break that. But I want to say at one point they were on a streak of like not having a first rounder for, I mean, it was like 18 years.
Oh, now since who paid Manning? Like, bro, I can't think of nobody. Nobody.
But yeah, so like things like that just don't happen. And so yeah, Tennessee hasn't had, well, in 2021 it was at 4 years, not 8 to 10, but it was at 4 years in 2021.
Okay. I can't think off the top of my head who the first round pick or first round draft pick was.
Yeah, I can't either. But
Had some ball players come through at Tennessee now. We're not disrespecting the program,
no,
but
we're
some.
not. But like, I'm just using that as an example. I mean, they've gone for, for I think probably going on 5 years now, that they haven't had a first round pick, and like that's a power five. That's one of their rivals, and you just got and now you've got this dude over here having more first round picks than he has losses in a 16-year period. It's just ridiculous. So yeah, man. Shout out Nick. Shout out the GOAT.
I've told people numerous amount of times, Saban doesn't, he hasn't put 5 and 4 stars on the field. That ain't necessarily where you look at him and give him praise, because recruiting is recruiting. When you're a big time program, you're gonna have those on your team. You look at any team from the past, and whenever the recruiting databases came out with the 5-star, 4-star rankings, they're gonna be those level players at all of the big time schools. But Saban has put NFL level development, NFL talent that's able to translate from those 4, 5, 3 stars into NFL talent on the same rosters at the same time. And that's different, bro. Multiple times he's done that. NFL teams on the field at college level.
Exactly. And I mean, it's Alabama has, I saw a stat earlier today from the University of Alabama, said Alabama has 36 former players on NFL rosters for the playoffs. I mean, the like 36 guys.
For the NFL playoffs, you guys, not the college football playoffs.
This is just a snapshot. Half the league has that, and these are the best teams, and they have 36 Alabama players. And then just, I mean, just the dude's impact on college football, though, from the things that, I mean, this entire, I want to say, almost era of college football is almost a direct result in an ironic way of the way that he was building his teams, because the problem, well, as some people saw it as a problem, as other people didn't see it as a problem. But back in the day, you could, there were like three or four schools that were getting all the 5 stars, and they just had 5 star at the, top of the depth chart, middle of the depth chart, bottom of the depth chart. And that gone are those days because of the portal, because of NIL. Gone, those days are long gone. And it's almost ironic how, in a way, it's because of him and the way that they were able to, one, recruit, but also develop over such a long period of time. And just all of the impacts that he's had, specifically on the game, on the game itself. I mean, you look around the country, and it seems like every coach was looking for the next Alabama assistant, and his coaching tree is just, it's one of one. I mean, off the top of my head, you've got Kirby Smart, you've got Lane Kiffin, you've got Steve Sarkisian,
Yes.
got
Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher, national championship winning head coach. You've got, Will Muschamp, who's coached in the past and is defensive coordinator. I think he's DC, right? Or is he
Well, no, he's a assistant.
assistant? Okay. And then Jeremy Pruitt, who, turned into a, I mean, bad head coach, but he's an amazing defensive coordinator. Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State, that's part of his coaching tree. So I mean, it's absolutely insane. When you go back and you look at it, Billy Napier at Florida, Mario Cristobal, like we were saying, Dan Lanning, the Dan Quinn. I mean, come on, like, we're naming guys from all walk, not just guys that,
Bro.
right. I mean, you just don't see it. His impact on not just college football, but the game of football is, I mean, there were NFL guys that were in there. So his impact on the game of football as a whole is just, it's insane. I don't know what other way to put it. It is, I mean, we could talk about it
Historical,
forever.
man. Historical, legendary.
Right. So yeah, man, shout out. That is the sunset era. I mean, I would say that's the sunset on the Nick Saban era of Alabama football, but that's really the sunset on the Nick Saban era of college football, because that's exactly what we just had.
Straight up, with
Yeah.
all due respect.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see where things go. But we'll leave it at that for y'all today. Keep it a little, I guess, a little shorter than we usually go. Just wanted to get that one out and get some thoughts out. Like I said, we got plenty of content. I think we probably talked about it a few times throughout the episode, but we got plenty of content on the way for y'all. Social media, YouTube coming up. So just stay patient with us. We got some time on our hands finally. So we're about to try and get all of this going. So we appreciate y'all, but we'll catch y'all next time.
Yeah, man, y'all stay tuned. We got over 200 days until the first college football game. It is officially the off season. We're gonna shout the NFL out, tap into the wild card games this weekend. It's some good ones. But yeah, dog, we're gonna keep y'all updated, tap in, more content on the way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So appreciate y'all as always. And we catch y'all next time. We out of here.